This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along as we talk about mental health awareness. And we are joined today by NAMI Keystone, Pennsylvania CEO, Christine Michaels. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and we're going to learn more about it today, about the group and about mental illness and the stigma we've heard so much about and how we are faring in dealing with that and better addressing these issues. Thanks for joining us on the program, Christine. Can you first identify mental illness? I mean, people can say, I have a physical illness, and they could have anything from the sniffles to cancer. Give us some, kind of parameters as to what we're referring to.
When we're referring to mental illness, we're referring to the wide range of disorders or conditions, and they can affect your thinking, your mood, your behavior, and in mental illnesses are classified in terms of thought disorders and mood disorders. The more serious mental illness is categorized. Mental illness is a biological brain disorder. It's not something that someone learns to do or has any control over, basically.
Are there numbers that we can quantify it? I mean, it's with such a wide variety, that's got to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
Chore.
There's numbers. Prior to the pandemic, the number was like 1 in 5 people would experience some form of mental health or mental illness in their lifetime. And a lot of times the other number was 1 in 4. But after the pandemic, with the numbers that were being reported to the CDC and their tracking and that, they think that it absolutely is 2 in 5, possibly could be 3 in 5, and that's due to the increase in reported anxiety and depression.
With that many people dealing, it seems like the stigma shouldn't be as great. What are a lot of people simply not maybe thinking of themselves in the category? Because it seems like there's a lot of stigma remaining for, you know, something that is so widespread.
Stigma remains, but the pandemic did a lot of, in terms of when you say, like, sometimes there was, I don't want to say a silver lining, but you know, there was some good things that happened during the pandemic. One of the good things in terms of stigma that did happen during the pandemic was talking about mental health became more mainstream, absolutely. Even though we started talking about it in terms of a mental health tsunami that was coming, or a mental health pandemic, as well as a COVID pandemic. And we are experiencing a mental health pandemic, and people are talking about it, and people are seeking help. But there is still a stigma around it. People still are reluctant to talk about it in the workplace. A lot of workplaces are addressing mental health issues. They realize, a lot of employers realize, that the experience that the pandemic had on their employees, and that they know that they have to address mental health issues in the workplace to get their employees back to work and try and get them to be just mentally healthy and productive. But some employers aren't recognizing it, and they have employees who are reluctant to still say anything. And then also, there's still parents of children that are experiencing, and the children had a rough time during the pandemic as well. Children's mental health issues are increased greatly, and the need for services is up, and parents, they'll seek services for their child and everything. But as far as like talking about it, and they're not always willing to discuss it or confide in their neighbors or their friends, or they don't particularly necessary, or even their family want people to know that their child needs psychological services or psychiatric services or medication. There's still a lot of stigma around it. And sometimes it even stops people from seeking services. And that's when it's really damaging.
I think if everybody had a lot of empathy, they wouldn't have to ask this question, but how does ending the stigma benefit everyone? I mean, it seems as a society, just understanding would go such a long way.
It would. I mean, it absolutely would. If everybody just would talk about, you know, mental health as easily as they talked about any other physical disease, people rally around them. If somebody has a psychotic break and ends up in the hospital, nobody comes. Nobody sends a card. Nobody does anything. you're left alone. And that's because people don't know what to say. If somebody loses someone to suicide, nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what to say. People don't have to know what to say. They don't have to know what to do. They just need to be there. And it's better. I mean, I think it's a lot better. It's talked about more. You know, it's more readily discussed. We can tell just by the media, TV, radio. We're doing a lot more public service announcement type things.
Is the portrayal of mental illness in the media, in pop culture, is it where we need to be? Give us kind of your take on that.
Just like whenever there's something tragic happens, you sit there and you wait to hear, because you know mental health is coming next and mental illness is going to get blamed for it. And I just would want to say that mental illness doesn't cause hate. That didn't cause what happened. And people with mental illness usually are not statistically, and it's, you know, there's a lot of research. They're typically more the victims of violence, not the perpetrators of violence. Although there have been incidents where people with mental illness are responsible for violence and for tragic incidents. And that does set people back. That perpetuates the stigma. It makes people afraid of people with mental illness. And that then that requires a lot of education, and that's hard to undo. You know, when the news media has a major news event and it's a tragic, and they start talking about, the first thing they go to is to see if this person has a mental health history. That's just horrible. And that's planted in everybody's mind. That's hard for us as mental health advocates and educators, particularly if it's the general public. They start thinking that all people with mental illness, there must be violence, or they should be afraid of people with mental illness, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, I've worked with people with mental illness for over 35 years, and I've never been afraid of them. I understand and know the conditions and everything, and I understand how to work with people, and that, and I know when they're not doing well. But in terms of just generally being afraid of people with mental illness, absolutely not. I mean, I'm a family member. I have several people with mental illness in my family, close. And I just started out saying 1 in 5. Now we think 2 in 5, possibly 3 in 5 people. So any person that you talk to, if you talk to them in terms of circles of 5 people in their life, and they start looking in terms of family or friends, you can almost be assured that somebody they know and are close to has some type of mental illness. And many times it's depression. Sometimes it's bipolar disorder. Sometimes it is schizophrenia. And a lot of times folks with these serious mental illnesses, they are managing, they are productive members of society. They're working with you side by side. You just don't know it because they choose not to share it with you because of the stigma. And that's sometimes a discussion we have with professional people. You know, if I disclose it, I feel like people will look at me differently. And right now I'm successful, I'm managing, and I sometimes think I would like to share this with my colleagues, but I feel like the minute that I do, everybody will look at me differently.
Do you feel like, I've noticed among my child's generation, the Generation Z, they do seem to be talking more about these sort of things in open. Do you kind of feel like there's a little hope in that the generation now is learning these things early on?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They just blurted it out. They're much more open about it. They're much more accepting of it. Yes. Just a flat out yes. You know, we couldn't be happier about that. They couldn't be any more healthier. What I see as part of our mission at NAMI is to get their parents educated so that their parents able to talk to them and be as accepting as they are. Because a lot of times it's not, they aren't there. You know, they could have a child that is much more educated than the parents are.
Social media, we always think of it as having two sides to the coin. It can cause problems, but I think the fact that so many people now are aware that they're not alone through social media, that has to make a big dent as well.
Exactly.
And NAMI has a presence on social media too, correct? To kind of get this information out to people who might not otherwise hear it.
Yes, most NAMIs, I mean, we have a social media presence. There's 31 affiliates or chapters in Pennsylvania, and we have several very active NAMIs in Pennsylvania. Not all, some are small and support group type, family support groups, but we have other NAMIs in Pennsylvania that are very active and have a very active social media presence, and they're doing great things. If you go to our website, NAMIKeystonePA.org, you can connect with any affiliate in Pennsylvania, and you can see all the great things that they're doing. And we have a lot of support groups that are run virtually that were started during the pandemic. And basically, different affiliates run different support groups, but there's basically a support group for anybody and run all different times, different days of the week, you know, 7 days a week and different times of the day.
In closing, can you just give us an idea, things to keep in mind, to watch for, you know, and family, friends that might need help, but aren't aware of the resources or even the need to reach out?
Well, I think that if you have a family member that has some change in their, I want to say, in their behavior, first of all, and if they normally are, like if they're normally an early riser, now you can't get them out of bed in the morning, or they never miss work, and now they start calling off all the time. Any change, like sort of dramatic change in their daily routine or work habit, same way with their mood or their personality. They are very talkative and have an outgoing personality, and now they're withdrawn. They start to isolate. They don't want to attend family functions. They don't want to talk on the phone. They start turning down invitations to go out. They start to turn inward. And those types of changes you notice, you know, where they seem, you know, they seem sad. I mean, like some very obvious things. But the other thing is that it goes on over a period of time, because sometimes it takes a little bit of time to notice it. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody says, I just don't feel like seeing anybody and doing anything. Just leave me alone. I mean, that's kind of normal to be mad at the world once in a while. But, you know, if it starts two or three times, they cancel on you or something like that. And the thing to do is to start asking, you know, is something wrong or something bothering you, or you want to talk about it? You know, those types of things. Or they start making comments like, I can't do anything right, or my boss is picking on me at work, or if it's a child or, you know, college student, I'm failing every test that I take, or anything that seems just out of the ordinary. It breaks a pattern of how they are and how they behave, and something could be amiss. And the thing is to go head on at it and ask. And then if you get an answer that they're not doing good or something's not right, the main thing is to talk about it, you know, and then to encourage them to seek help, to talk to somebody, to talk to a counselor. And if they don't want to seek professional help, at least try to encourage them to speak to their, you know, primary care physician or their pastor or someone, to just see if you can get them to speak to somebody that might be able to encourage them to get professional help. And when I say professional help, a lot of times it could just be therapy. A lot of times people don't want to seek professional help because they think they have to see a psychiatrist and they have to get medication. And a lot of times that isn't so. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not.
There's a lot of options out there.
That's the main thing, I think, that we try to make sure that everybody, the main message that we want to get out to everybody is that mental illness is extremely treatable, and that you know, you can have a mental illness. It's treatable. You can have a good life, not the end of the world.
Thank you, Christine Michaels, the NAMI Keystone CEO, our guest today on the WPGM Community Forum. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we were pleased to have Christine join us. Thank you for being with us on the program. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.